You're playing the wrong one.
Well, see, I knew you were waiting for the wobbly, kind of the out-of-tune one. I'm just trying to remain positive. It's just the preseason. These games don't mean anything.
Don't panic.
Well, Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram is here to talk about the plethora of problems. To quote you from this morning's Chronicle-Telegram article, which you have titled, or they, the editors, have put in, a sense of urgency. How are we feeling it? What is the sense?
Yeah, I think there's no reason to be real optimistic after watching these first three preseason games. You know, they were okay in Detroit. The offense was bad in Washington, and then both sides of the ball were bad Saturday at home against the Rams. So I know it's only preseason, and a lot can change, and Coach Mike Pettine believes that by the time they get to Pittsburgh, there'll be better chemistry and they'll game plan, which will solve some of the problems. But it would be really hard to be optimistic after watching that game Saturday.
Yeah, but how about that scoreboard? Tell us about that. What was that?
Oh, that's pretty neat. Both those are pretty neat. The stadium has a different feel to it. They're huge. The pictures are clear. They had a bunch of little scoreboards around now with out-of-town scores, and they had the Indian score on one of them. So it's pretty neat. You know, I'm not a huge different stadium kind of guy, but it feels like they're kind of, it's more enclosed and the scoreboards are on top of you a little bit. So I think it was a big improvement.
Scott, are you surprised at all that the team sort of seems to be the shape they're in at the moment?
You know what? I guess in a way I am, because when you open a new training camp, you always have, you know, you always think, okay, this is going to be better. And, you know, because we've seen a lot of poor football for the last 15, 16 years. And you think, okay, this new regime's going to figure it out. And you trust, you know, I thought Brian Hoyer, I liked what I saw out of him last year. So I kind of thought he'd pick up where he left off. But the fact is, and Mike Pettine touched on these things yesterday, and I don't think he was using them as excuses, just kind of explanation, that there's a new coaching staff. There's new coordinators on both sides of the ball. Offense coordinator Kyle Shanahan's system is, Mike Pence said, radically different than the one Norv Turner ran last year. So all these players have to adjust. You bring in a bunch of free agents. You draft rookies. You throw all these new guys into a system, to a new system, and say, go figure it out with less practice time than the NFL team used to have. You're rotating quarterbacks for a big chunk of the offseason before, it was only last week when Brian Hoyer was named the starter. Brian Hoyer's coming off a torn ACL, so he didn't take a lot of 11-on-11 team reps until training camp started 4 weeks ago. So there's a lot of reasons why there's not the cohesion that you'd hope for at this point of the preseason. Now, having said all that, you got to figure it out by week one, because Pittsburgh's going to be there, and you got to figure out a way to compete in this league. And that's one of the problems with the Browns changing coaches every year or every other year, is you can't build any continuity from the roster to the coaching staff to the systems you run. It continues to change, which continues to lead to struggles at the outset of the season, which lead to bad records, which lead to more coaching changes.
We somehow seemed like we try to like think of, we could wipe this slate clean, but if you look back at our record over the last 15 years, we should know there's a pattern here, and a team doesn't just change overnight. So do we sometimes kind of blindly go into this expecting something more than we're going to get?
Well, yeah, I don't know about blindly, because we've seen it so many times, but I think that happens. But the other side of it is there are teams that turn it around from one season to the next. And every year a team goes from worst to first. And when Pete Carroll got to Seattle, they had a pretty significant turnaround. And you can see it at different spots. There are coaches, Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, turned that organization around in a hurry, and now they're one of the top organizations in the league. So if you get the right coach in place, if you get the right quarterback in place, you can have significant upgrades in a hurry. The problem is there needs to be some level of patience, and I think you have to get, I don't know if lucky is the right word, but something has to happen early to begin building momentum. And there's no reason to think, but there's no reason to believe that it's impossible for for that to happen to the Browns. If they, let's say they go into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not a perfect team. They have their issues. They have a good game plan. They go to Pittsburgh. They get a win. All of a sudden, people start feeling good about themselves. They come home for a couple games. If you go 2-1 before the bye, and then the schedule kind of gets a little easier, maybe you have Josh Gordon back. Maybe you get Nate Burleson back, and you get some chemistry with Brian Hoyer, and Brian Hoyer settles down. I mean, that's going to be a key. Then you can take a breath, and you can start winning some games. Nobody thought the Browns would be any good in 2007. They changed starting quarterbacks at halftime of week one, and they figured out a way to win 10 games. So it's a crazy league, and I, you know, by no means am I writing off the season. It's just tough when you stand there or sit there and watch that preseason game Saturday night and go, okay, you take that and say they're going to be fine in 2 weeks. It's tough to say that based on that evidence.
And, of course, with the preseason, there's people, they're only showing so much. They're trying different people. Does this team have another gear? Are we expecting that from them at any time?
Well, I mean, I don't know if gear is the word. If Josh Gordon is somehow available week one, then that's a boost that no other team in the league could have. Because I think we're all assuming that he's going to be out however many games. Is it 2? Is it 4? Is it 8? Is it all 16? If he happened to play week one, that would be a shot of energy unparalleled. Beyond that, I think you have to hope that Nate Burleson, the veteran receiver, comes back, and because he's been around so long, maybe he gets 2 weeks working with Brian Hoyer in practice, and they can figure something out. And I think Mike Pettin, I know Mike Pettin, is relying on the game plan for Pittsburgh will be specific for Pittsburgh, will be limited to what he thinks the Browns do best, as opposed to a preseason game where you're trying a bunch of things. They want to test the quarterbacks, so they're not running the ball as much as they would in the regular season. So I think he thinks the product will be much improved come the regular season, but just how much improved is a question because, you know, Pittsburgh's probably a more talented team, at least they have been in the past than the Browns.
Scott, did any newcomer really make a mark and perhaps guarantee a spot on the team from this past week?
Well, I'll tell you what. Chris Kirksey, the third-round pick out of Iowa, the linebacker, he had a spot on this team, but he continues to impress every week. He had an interception where he made a great read on what the quarterback was going to do, dropped in coverage, got a hand on the ball to tip it to himself, caught it, and then made a nice return to set up Johnny Manziel's touchdown run. You know, receiver Taylor Gabriel, he's an undrafted guy out of Abilene Christian, small guy, 5'7", 5'8". And I'm not sure you want to go with another tiny receiver because they spent money on Andrew Hawkins, who's going to be their slot receiver, and he caught the touchdown from Hoyer on Saturday. But Gabriel continues to make plays in the passing game, continues to make plays in the return game, and I think he's making a strong push. I don't know if you can afford to have 2 5'8" receivers on your roster in addition to Travis Benjamin, who's 170 pounds. But Gabriel's going to make it hard for the Browns to cut him. And then Deion Lewis, who's not a rookie, but I thought he didn't fit in Kyle Shanahan's offensive system because he's a small running back. But he did a good job on third down the other night. He's had some nice plays in the preseason. He had a big blitz pickup, which you question if he can do it because he's a tiny guy too. And he did a nice job in that. So Mike Pettin said he's separating himself a little bit in that battle to be the third running back.
Talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram, Justin Gilbert had an interesting night for him. You know, he's the top draft pick for the Browns, had a little tough time. What can we expect from him in the weeks ahead?
Well, I tell you, they need him to figure it out because not only is he going to be on the field a lot, Buster Skrine, who was in a battle to kind of keep Gilbert from starting week one. He's out with a thumb. He had thumb surgery. The Browns expect him back week one, but he won't have played the last 3 preseason games. And you draft a guy number 8, you expect him to come in right away and play. Gilbert looked good in Washington, which was his first preseason work, and he just struggled Saturday night. Mike Pettin said he lost some technique. He missed a big tackle when he went for a strip that led to a 75-yard touchdown. He just seemed to be out of place when they played zone. He was kind of a step or two away from where he should be. When they were in man and third and long, he didn't grasp the situation. He let a guy catch a 20-yard pass on third and 19, things you just can't do. He's got all the talent in the world, seems to be smart enough, seems to work hard enough. But those cornerbacks, you can't hide, and rookie cornerbacks are going to take their lumps. That's why Mike Pettine doesn't want to turn that starting job just completely over to him. And you might let Buster Skrine take some of those reps on the outside just so it doesn't feel like Gilbert's getting picked on every play, because teams are going to look and see Joe Hayden and go, okay, where else am I going to go with the ball? And it's always going to be to Justin Gilbert's side. So he's going to have to grow up in a hurry, and the Browns might have to manage him just to make sure that his confidence doesn't get killed and that he can kind of continue to grow as they get into the season.
Well, we might have lost to the Rams, but at least we're not the Rams. They lost their starting quarterback. So obviously preseason games can get up worse than just what it shows up on the scoreboard. That's for
sure. I'll tell you what, and it's the scores don't matter. You know, I mean, we all know that. But the fact is that the Browns were outplayed, you know, by the Rams' backup quarterbacks. Doesn't help. And I think the Browns defense will be fine. But, you know, you mentioned Sam Bradford. It's a sad injury. The guy's the number one pick in the draft and hasn't been able to stay healthy. I think he's got all the talent in the world. He showed it in a little bit of time he played the other day, zipping the ball. But that's why the preseason is so scary. You know, the Rams felt good about their team. They're in a tough division, but they thought they could compete. They have a big-time defense. And all of a sudden, on one Saturday night in August in Cleveland, your whole vision for the season changes. So, you know, you have to have a preseason. These coaches in front office just pray that guys don't get hurt. And then it's no wonder why a guy like Joe Hayden has a little bit of a sore foot and the Browns shut him down, because there's no reason to take a risk with a guy that you need for the 16 games to count.
Yeah, that's for sure. You can really – what bad things could happen in August just affect the rest of your season. But at least how's the health of the Browns outside of Joe Hayden, and maybe anything else that you can report on?
You know what, they've knock on wood, if you're a Browns fan, they've gotten pretty lucky in the preseason. I can't, you know, the Buster Skrine has a thumb, but he should be back. Desmond Bryant, the defensive end, had wrist surgery and may not be ready for the start of the season, but they don't expect him to miss a whole lot of time. And that's one position where the Browns have a lot of depth, is the defensive line. You know, Nate Burleson's hamstring, I mentioned him before, it's still nagging, and he's missed all three preseason games, and it's hurting the timing of the offense, especially at a position where the Browns are desperate for production. You know, I mean, that's the biggest question mark on the team. But besides that, they've been pretty lucky, and, you know, Mike Pettine's taking a little bit of a gamble because he's going to play his starters on Thursday night in the finale just because they were so bad the other night and they need to work. But he's going to hold his breath for however many snaps. If it's 12 snaps or 8 snaps, he's going to hold his breath that guys like Joe Thomas and Alex Mack and Jordan Cameron come through healthy, because you can't afford to have an injury. The problem is, if you get an injury in that preseason finale, there's not a whole lot of time before week one for a guy to get healthy. Even if he rolls an ankle, you know, something that's a 2 or 3 week injury, it costs you 2 or 3 games to start the season. But Mike Pettine thinks the risk is worth it because his starters need more playing time.
Yeah, well, if the starters were better, then they would have more time off. So they're kind of, you know.
That's exactly right.
They're getting overtime because they're not showing up to work as the coach would maybe have it. We can check you out in the Chronicle Telegram. Scott Petrak, thanks for sharing it with us. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.